Okay, I'm joined today by Jaden Lister. You have a good evening.
Mate, it's been good. Been good so far. Just demolished my chicken and rice. People that know me, that is pretty much all I eat is chicken and rice, chicken and rice, chicken and rice.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, so I'm going to get straight in. Do you want to tell everyone about your background, how you came to Bitcoin, what got you into it?
God, so a big... where do I start? People that have kind of spoken to me, family and friends, think I'm some kind of Jehovah's Witness around Bitcoin now. But how I got into it was through the Bitcoinies group chat, which I believe you're in as well. So there's a guy called Adam, who when I used to work at a gym at NR Health and Fitness in Attleborough, a guy called Adam was very philosophical around Bitcoin. I thought it was kind of crazy. He has his own like kind of gold shop, and I was kind of thinking it was crazy, but it's just that craziness that kind of as a person, I'm kind of like intrigued about. So if they're just say 99 people say something's bad, but one person says something's good, I'll tend to kind of sit on the fence and go with that one person. So Adam was kind of talking about it. I had a decent amount of money saved up when I was younger, around that age. And then I just kind of got into that. So that was 2021. He told me about it. And then throughout 2022 is when I then started kind of buying up Bitcoin and other altcoins and things like that.
Oh my God, I'm actually an idiot.
Did you not record?
I've got to unpause it.
No. It's fine.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go over that last question again on just I've unpaused it and now for everyone on it, I just paused the conversation for an entire question. That's fine.
That's brilliant.
The question was, how do your peers and how do people in your circle perceive Bitcoin?
Okay, and right. Right, mate. So, how do they view it? Part two. So, whether that's my friendship group, colleagues, and my family, they view cash as what we need. They live in the here and now, especially people my age, my friendship group. They like to live in the instant gratification world of we might die tomorrow, kind of that YOLO mentality as such. God, I hate using that word. It makes me feel like five. Yeah. But yeah, we will get how to put it, there is a high likely chance that we're not gonna die tomorrow. We may do, but we have to prepare for if we get to 40, get to 50, get to 60, and so on and so forth. As we're getting older, we have to prepare for that. And our generation our generation will live longer than generations of today. So I don't want to. Oh, sorry. God, now I'm off.
Right.
But yeah, so a lot of my generation certainly will think about the here and now, and some will think about buying a home. But a lot of them believe that they can never buy a home because of the wages and the inflation. Some don't even think about inflation. They just think that they won't ever earn enough. And so they're just living here and now. And cash is kind of the only thing to think about. And that, we just get taxed and that's just what we've got to, that's what we have to use, rather than spending, a few hours of their life within the year just to learn about holding, saving the purchasing power of their wealth. And so again, talking about Bitcoin standards, people at work, they think Bitcoin, like, but they almost treat it like a, I don't know, it's like a dirty subject. I don't know how to quite, it's just like a weird aura as soon as you kind of, I bring the book out just to read it on my lunch break. And I'm just like, it's not a Jehovah's Witness book. It's not like a preaching book of like buy Bitcoin. It teaches you the history of money, which is what I believe it should be in every syllabus at school. Teaches you the history of money and why societies have fallen over thousands of generations or hundreds of years, and whether that be the Roman Empire, whether that be the Byzantines, is it the Byzantines?
Yeah.
And so basically, the history of money is just devaluing the currency, in whether that's the gold, silver, glass beads, whatever, anything can be currency. So, but anyway, so to cut it short, people just think of the here and now in my circle and don't think about saving their purchasing power.
Yeah, I see the same thing. Just
did John pause it?
Saving. I did. We got this bit. We got this bit. The whole idea of saving for our generation was never even a thing, really, that never even started, because we've just assumed, like, almost subconsciously, that we're not going to be able to afford this stuff, because for some, like, we can, even though no one puts it together as it's devaluing the currency, it's obvious that things are constantly getting more expensive. It's just not that connection that it's to the devaluation of the money, pretty much.
Yeah, but, pack of eggs.
Yeah.
Pack of eggs now is £2.45 in Aldi. Well, I'm now spending like £5 odd a week on eggs because I eat 4 a day. It's madness. Absolute madness.
What do you think is the main barriers to enter for people to understand this kind of stuff? Do you think it is the lack of education in schools, or do you think there's other ways around that? Because obviously we're not going to get the Bitcoin standard in a school. But
I wish, yeah.
Yeah, one of the other ways we could
what
try.
What are the barriers? I mean, it's all what, I guess, what the syllabuses are. This, if you really want it in schools. Again, when I was at school, I don't know, you were obviously finished 5 years later than me. But, yeah, cause it's 2 years plus 3 is 5. I can count. So, yeah, certainly throughout when I was at school, we were not taught anything about money. I suppose that kind of subject is left to your families and not the school itself, is what I believe. So whether, you know, the government, probably same as like brushing your teeth and stuff like that, hygiene is kind of left with parenting rather than the schools. So, but now brushing your teeth is now being taught at schools, which I find absolute. Yeah, in primary schools. Yeah. I mean, it's just so weird how everything's becoming less parenting, more parenting at school. Yeah, the breakdown of the family.
Yeah.
And so I keep getting emails through my bloody, I don't know, can you hear that?
No, I can't hear it.
Okay, good, that's fine, it won't be on there. So, the barriers. So, what I believe what we need is, even if it's about stocks and shares, like not about companies, but certainly learning about investment tools that we can use would be great if the government or the Department of Education could include that in a syllabus, certainly when you're maybe 13, 14, when you're kind of maybe on a paper round and that kind of thing, looking at investment tools for when you're a bit older, when you do turn 18, or what your parents could open up for you, certainly needs to be in education for me personally. They need to learn about stocks and shares, ISA, what a SIP is, a general investment account. And then now that as Bitcoin is becoming more and more recognized by countries, by institutions, certainly that has to be taken more seriously. If America is now holding reserve, if the likes of, I believe it, I saw a post, a UAE bank, which is an Islamic bank, are now allowing custodianship of Bitcoin. So we're now understanding that there is legitimacy in the institutional
realm,
that's the word, yeah. I'm looking for, institutional realm. And so I think if we don't act now and don't have an understanding of the financial system, then we're going to be so far behind as a country and as a nation.
And it's one of the beautiful things about Bitcoin is that the 14-year-old doing the paper round, the only thing they can really own without needing their parents to open something up for them is Bitcoin.
I'm still, yeah, maybe back in the day. I don't know about now. I mean, most exchanges you need some form of ID.
That's true, but
there are probably ways stuff around it, and yeah. We're not suggesting that any of you guys do that.
Not financial advice.
Not financial advice. Don't do that. But no, I mean, my conspiracy is that I don't know whether it's the government or whether that's higher entities as such, but want the general population to not be financially literate. We are very financially illiterate as a nation, and to me, I think it's done on purpose. I don't know why. Yeah, maybe that's because they want to keep the higher beings want to keep us poor. I'm not too sure why, but certainly we need to do more.
The more demand there is for the pound, the more value they can siphon from inflation. So,
indeed,
it's just a personal incentive. If there's a way for you to make money.
Keep a cog in the wheel.
Exploit that if they can.
Keep us a cog in the wheel.
Altruism, yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah, but I think there are also some good ways outside of school that people can educate themselves on Bitcoin. I mean, there are an infinite amount.
Oh, for sure. I mean, social media, everything like that now.
Yeah.
yeah, go on.
But there's definitely a split that's, I think, is going to happen between people that our age, you know, my age, your age, that's going to occur, because literally 99% of people our age will go job, no, school, uni, degree, job, die, pretty much. But then Bitcoin gives you that freedom to not have to go down that route. You can save, you know, if you're saving in fiat, you can't really go and get a normal job and then viably live your life after that. You're going to be a bit stuck. But if you do that job and then save on Bitcoin, that then reverses that whole thing. So do you see that as an opportunity to break free of the classic uni degree job, whatever?
Well, it depends what you want to do. My stance is, if you want to go to uni, great. But do it for the right reasons. If you want to be a lawyer or a doctor, or something that could lead to a guaranteed job with high income, great. Then you could put that into Bitcoin if you really wanted to do that. But certainly if it's a degree that probably won't lead to that, or you're not looking to use that degree, but you're looking just to go party and, I don't know, do whatever you want to do in, with that regard. Yes, it does teach you some good life lessons, but if you can get a job straight away and do, whether it's an apprenticeship route or whether it's a, or whether you know someone, like I was speaking to you, if you know someone to get just a job, just to stack some money to then buy Bitcoin, if you're not going to go the uni route. But yeah, so in short, if you can get a job early on, buy Bitcoin early enough now at the stage that we're in, because it will come to a point where, yes, you could buy Bitcoin at 400,000, 500,000, a million, whatever it, you know, it's going to go to in the next 10 years. There is going to come to a point where, yes, people should buy it, but the returns, how to put it, oh, to make it work, how do I put it, that our generation need to start doing it now rather than in thinking about it when they're 30 or 40, because it's still going to be then another 20 years or 30 years on top of that before you can reap the rewards if it does go to 10 million a coin per se. Whereas now, if you've got one and then it's 10 million in 20 years or 15 million or 5 million, then yes, certainly, I don't think it can necessarily, trying to think. So
in a way, you think the returns are going to lessen off?
They will do eventually, because it will become, I believe it will become a more stable asset, because there's only so much value in the world in terms of the monetary system. I know they can print infinite money. I get that. But certainly I believe there will come to a point where it's not doubling every cycle. It's not returning 100% returns every 4 years and so on and so forth.
I mean, you get to the point where like 80% of the world value, if it is in Bitcoin, no matter how much they print, 80%, and then that is going to be a much slower move.
Yeah, so I think that, well, at the moment, I think it, unless, correct me if I'm wrong, so roughly every 4 years of the cycle of Bitcoin roughly, I think it's 80 or 100% in value over those like 4 years, or however that, whatever that stat is. So it's outperformed the S&P 500 for the last 15 years that it's been in existence. But eventually, so it's now, what, is it $2 trillion or something dollars in market cap? So eventually when it gets to 15 trillion or 20 trillion or 30 trillion, but I believe it'll come a point where it'll be kind of like a more stable. It won't just keep doubling every 4 years and more. Mm-hmm. That's just my belief. So yeah, get in now, because eventually then I won't say too late, but it'll be a little bit like gold or a little bit like the S&P 500, where it's just kind of steady growth and not so volatile. So I think in the short term, if you do buy it now, you could skip uni per se. But again, it
depends what you want to do.
It depends what you do, what your life goals are.
Yeah. So when you talk, I assume you do, if you talk to your friends about Bitcoin, about this topic, what is usually your approach, and what do you find works and makes click for people? Because I'm struggling with that at the moment.
I've
got some friends and we talk about it, and it's a tricky one to break through, because obviously it's going to be a different moment or thing that puts it together for different people, which is tricky.
I've got one friend that I'm trying to turn into an orange-pilled Deegan of Bitcoin. But His name's Morgan, and I'll tell him to listen to this podcast. But so I've got one friend, one singular friend. So lonely. No, Morgan is I say a close friend of mine who's 40. He's 40 years old, and trying to speak to him about it is don't overload with information. That's what I started with. And so I think when it comes to anything, whether it's a new skill, a new hobby, or, you know, just say your friends are, I don't know, there's a new craze in Pokemon again recently.
Yeah.
Apparently I've got some family friends and some other people that I know that are getting back into Pokemon cards. But anyway, everyone keeps showing me like 50 million videos of Pokemon cards. And but I don't want to watch it. Or there's like 5 long-hour podcasts, you know, Bitcoin that you and I have watched however many times. So I think just snippets of information, short content that they can digest easily, I think is a good way to start. Certainly something that's piqued his interest is a podcast with Gary that he did with Dan. I can't remember his last name, Dan someone or other, who was working in London, did the traditional 9 to 5, earned over 600K figure, Jesus Christ, no, six figure salary. And that kind of resonated with Morgan. So if you can find maybe a podcast or a short YouTube video or even an X post or something that you think would resonate with your friend or friends, then certainly, I think, yeah, certainly that could then help them gain a little bit of intrigue within Bitcoin.
And do you think there are certain aspects, properties to Bitcoin that our generation is more primed to understand? I certainly think that stuff works a lot better the older you are, really. And the current system bent is less harsh on people that are older, but for us, it's going to work. The dynamic's going to be a little bit different. So I don't know, do you think it's in a way that we're almost primed to be nudged in the direction of understanding it a little bit more?
I suppose because it's technology, that because we're younger, we just understand technology more, and therefore have an interest within it. I don't really know. For being totally honest with you, I just think as a younger generation, I just believe that we just have more of an interest in the online space, the online world. So therefore, a small percentage of people our age will come across, if they like money and start, you know, looking around that kind of mentality of money and store value and that kind of thing, then it might lead them to Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's interesting. And do you have any last things that you'd want to say to maybe try and help nudge someone down the rabbit hole? Anything you think is particularly interesting?
If you don't want to be in the cog in the wheel by the time that we have a pension, it will probably be in our mid-70s to late-70s. So if you don't want that and you want to maybe have the choice of working around 40 or 50, most likely, if you can gain one Bitcoin, that is, over the, you know, as you keep buying little bits here and there every single month for the next 20 years. So if you don't want to keep working till your mid to late 70s or even 80s, and you like the idea of choosing to work and not having to work and possibly being able to go on a few more holidays and have a family life as such, then buy Bitcoin, because it will go to 10 million. It will go to 15 million. It will go to 20 million, whether that's 20, 30, 50 years, but certainly your purchasing power will stay with Bitcoin. It will only decrease if you hold the pound, the dollar, whatever currency. So buy Bitcoin.
You will be devalued if you hold anything else, essentially.
Yes, definitely.
Educate yourself and then buy Bitcoin.
Definitely. So that's what I have to say.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. I'm going to keep it short, a little bit more digestible content, but thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Really good time. Thank you for your time.
No, thank you.